Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 364, recorded on Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
And we are All About Android.
Oh, I love that.
Wow. It got very dramatic.
I was kind of hoping you'd go Captain Planet, though.
Would that be like, and little echo at the end?
There is always an echo at the end. It's very true.
Yeah, there should be. There should be. Like we got to work on that.
Like a true millennial.
As long as you make a just as cool theme song, Jason.
I didn't make this
all
theme
about
song.
Android, heroes. So, yep.
That sounds good.
I'm sorry about how much I just millennialed this show today.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. I'm sorry I'm a little, that's why I'm sitting over here.
It's okay.
By the way.
Flo is getting over a cold or something
along those lines. A Hawaiian cold, a tropical cold.
Oh, so we can't feel bad about that.
I somehow
got it. It's really hard to, because it's like, you needed that vacation. You were having a rough time leading up to it.
Yes.
And then I look on the Instagram stories and I'm like, oh, but she's in Hawaii, whatever. And then today you're like, oh, I've been sick. And I'm like, oh, you're sick from your vacation.
Oh, vacation sickness.
Poor Flo. Well. But it's good. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you pulled yourself together. I'm glad we're all together. This past month of Jason being out and then Flo being out, it's like, you know, like, it's when we're unified, we're at our best, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't stop there. Next week, you're out again.
Going back
to Hawaii.
Hold on. No, for a very unmillennial reason.
Go on.
And maybe I'm going to go see Jamara Kwai next Tuesday.
Oh, jeez.
Is that unmillennial?
Yes. Flo, it's like you do this. You do this like just to bait me.
I know.
It's virtual insanity, Flo. That's what it is, really.
It's so good.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, where is Jamiroquai playing?
Bill Graham. So the acoustics aren't going to be that good. Yeah, I know. It's okay. Yeah. We already had that discussion.
If you're going to see Jamiroquai, I can think of a million places are better.
I know, but this is what they offered us, so I took it. It's either that or Sacramento, and I don't want to go that far.
Well, have fun on your Jamiroquai
concert. Thank
you.
Sorry, but I'm not going to be here.
That's okay. Maybe you can call in from the show, and we can hear a little bootleg music. We're going to talk about some Android news this week. I was going to say we're not going to talk about music news, but that's not true because so much of this show actually, strangely, is built around music. We've got a whole segment discussion around the state of music apps for Android, kind of what we have, where they've come from, and just kind of talk a little bit about music apps. I think you might find a little bit of that in the arena, just kind of as a tease there. We've also got Google's gift to ROM Flashaholics, Chromecast with Android TV that we're hearing about today, the ZTE Iceberg, and a bunch of emails because it's slow news season leading up to Google I.O.
It really is.
It really is.
But you know what they say, Jason?
What do they say?
April slow news showers bring May Google I.O. flowers.
That's totally what they say. You're right. I can't fault you for that. They do say that sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think you may be the first person to ever say that, actually.
I penned it.
Victor, what do you say when we go to the news?
I say there's no device limit on Android news.
No, we don't place limits on your devices. We're definitely not a 100 device limit like Google did, apparently. This was news that happened when I was out on my month-long vacation, which is actually 2 weeks. But last month, we talked about how Google had begun locking uncertified devices out of using its GApps suite of services and apps, while giving custom ROM users kind of a pass, kind of a white list, if they registered their device appropriately. The problem was that developers were concerned with the fact that it seemed like there was a 100 device, a 100 token limit per device. That was the news that you guys talked about, right?
Yeah.
And the 100 device limit was mm-hmm. part of that?
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't touch on the 100 device limit.
That may have come up a little bit later. Yeah,
that came up later. We just talked about the fact that you could register and work around it. Yeah, but that we didn't talk about the 100 one.
Okay. Well, apparently they were running into this 100 token per device limit. And if you are a ROM flashaholic, as I said a few minutes ago, I mean, even when I was flashing devices, ROMs all the time, I don't know if I ever got up to 100 different installations. But I'm sure there are people that do. And some of these developers were hitting that limit. And, they couldn't pass that. Well, apparently Google's doing them a solid. Mm-hmm. Google's now removed that limit from uncertified device registration page. So if you're, in that case, if you are a developer and you need to, flash new instances of a ROM or an entirely new ROM, if you like kind of swapping out your ROMs every once in a while, you don't have to worry about running into that limit and suddenly you can't do it on that device anymore, which would kind of stink.
This is like when I couldn't log into Google Play Music because I had too many devices registered.
Do you ever encounter that anymore?
Not anymore. It's all gone. Yeah, it was kind of awesome. I think it's like somebody went in and pressed delete on every device I've ever registered since 2010.
Well, that's nice.
And it only shows like the last four devices, the ones that I use most often.
But it kind of is like that, because that was a real big bummer, thinking that, hey, I've got a new device, I'm going to put this on there. Well, I got to the point to where I wouldn't do it anymore, so.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling it probably has to do with the fact that you get Google Play Music on so many different devices now. You don't just get it on phones. You can get it on set-top boxes, and you can get it on, tablets. You can get it inside cars, and, you don't want to run into that limitation.
I feel like we're already in the state of music apps discussion. And
it's getting there. This has been bubbling.
This music discussion has been bubbling among us.
It's been brewing.
Brewing, yes. Better.
I think it's bubbling, too.
I don't want to overpromise, but I think it's going to be fun.
But let's not talk about it yet. Let's talk about this other thing before we do.
I'm looking forward to this next little news tidbit. So my best guy friend and I, who I've brought up on the show before, we use Google Hangouts to chat, but sometimes it's very awkward. But now, we use it because of the VoIP. It's very clear calling. But now we can maybe use Google Voice because... for a long time, people have been using Hangouts to get that VoIP call quality. Maybe soon Google Voice will have that. There's an open beta for Google Voice Wi-Fi calling that's underway right now, which is exciting for those who want to be able to have these high-quality calls through their Google Voice number. The feature will be integrated into the Google Voice app directly, which sidesteps Hangouts, which I'm very thankful for because I'm moving further and further away from Hangouts myself, personally.
Google wants you to.
I'm not using it as much. Yeah. I'm not an organization that uses it sort of thing. The functionality would allow for calls from any Android device, so not only Android phones, so that'll include tablets as well, kind of the way that iMessage works, between like iPads and iPhones. Mm-hmm. Limited roaming charges by opting for Wi-Fi calling instead of mobile networks, also another great thing. I find that I'm probably going to be using this when I'm overseas, I imagine, which is typically what I do when I go overseas. I use my Google Voice number. One big downside, though, is that it will not work for OBHi devices, which is hardware that utilizes Google Voice services for VoIP calls. And by the way, I Googled this after I saw this note today.
Did you hear about, are you aware of the OBHi devices? I've never used them, but I've definitely heard of them and wondered, like people, it's like a small community, but people swear by them.
No, I thought they were just components. Actually, I've never heard, but for those like who are familiar,
VoIP
not going to work with that. Also, this functionality will not tap into the phone app. So this is for calling directly from the Google Voice app, which, I'm in that routine using Google Voice.
Which is interesting because, I mean, with Google Voice, I feel like you could... Couldn't you rope it through the dialer? Or no, I guess you had to pull up Hangouts dialer in order to make those calls through VoIP specifically.
There used to be able to have the option, for instance, when I would make like a call internationally, the dialer would automatically ask if I wanted to dial
Voice. That's what it is. You could set it up so that it would ask you, do you want to use this or do you want to use that?
Which is great because I don't pay for international calling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
Why should I?
But in this case, it sounds like you actually literally have to use the Google Voice app. I wonder if it would give you the setting to be able to make that determination eventually through the dialer.
I can see I know you use your Google Voice number a lot.
Well, now I'm Project Fi, so I'm not Google Voice anymore.
You took that number over.
Yeah, basically, my Google Voice number is now my Project Fi number.
My Google Voice number now is my office number. And I don't want to deal with
it. So you don't have to answer. Yes.
So that's what I'm using it for now. Yeah. So I kind of like the separation of church and state, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta admit, I'm not using Google Voice at the moment. I have some numbers lingering out there, but I don't use any of them. I just have my standard number linked, you know, from my cell phone provider to my phone because my life is much less complicated than yours. But I do have T-Mobile Wi-Fi calling, which I love. It's fantastic. So the whole idea of Wi-Fi calling from the phone, you know, like I had cell coverage problems in my apartment when I moved here from New York. Calls would drop. I'd have to go outside on the patio, that sort of thing. And then with the Pixel and T-Mobile, the Wi-Fi calling started working. And I noticed now I'm getting calls in the apartment with Wi-Fi and I have no problems at all. And so Google Voice adding Wi-Fi calling gets me very, very optimistic and maybe might reconsider going back to it because I'm kind of addicted to the Wi-Fi calling.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting point because I almost feel like there's two different definitions when somebody says Wi-Fi calling. The first definition is something like T-Mobile, which is basically your Wi-Fi signal wherever you happen to be is stronger than your cell signal or there versus not. So therefore, we're going to use your cellular minutes but route it through the Wi-Fi in order for you to make that call. So it's kind of like you're using your Wi-Fi as a cellular tower. Mm-hmm. And then there's what Hangouts was doing with Hangouts the Hangouts calls, dialer or whatever. And that's legitimate, like voice over IP. Yeah. You're not using any of your personal data minutes or credits to do that. You're literally making a free call over the internet. And so I don't know how that changes what Google Voice is. I'm guessing Google Voice will be very similar to what Hangouts have.
Well, I gotta imagine. I feel like it's maybe a hybrid of the two there because it's going to be on your device using the Wi-Fi, but it's technically VoIP. I mean, even T-Mobile Wi-Fi calling is VoIP to a certain degree because it's using the internet to make the call, right?
Right.
But yeah, I gotta imagine it's more of a hybrid of the two, but leaning more on the VoIP infrastructure that they built with Hangouts.
Yeah.
I have Volt.
Volty?
Volty.
Voice over LTE?
Yeah, it's just crisp, high voice, but it's only with other Verizon people.
Isn't that kind of disconcerting?
It's really creepy, actually.
It's weird how used to low resolution audio we are because when I do a phone call and I hear someone on the other end and it sounds like I'm listening to a video on YouTube, it's like it takes me out of the call for a second. I have to adjust. Yep. Yeah, very strange.
It is very strange.
Apparently, 9to5 Google has hands-on with the VoIP calling feature of Google Voice. So if you're curious about that, thanks to ScooterX in the chat room for linking that. I missed that today. But Abner Lee had taken it for a spin, and you can kind of find out more there. Should we talk about music?
Let's talk about music.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about music.
Victor, can you roll the State of Music bumper?
Yes, that you've been working all day for. Oh,
no, just kidding. No. So, yeah. So
thanks for that, Ron.
Sorry.
That sound was Victor being run over by a bus. Jeez. Yes.
I love Ron driving. You know that, Victor. So as Jason and Flo mentioned earlier, I feel like music has been coming up as a topic in the past couple of weeks. And I had the realization, I don't know if you guys agree with me, but we kind of stopped talking about music, right? Like the whole music question pretty much has been solved. You know, especially on the Android side with Google Play Music, with Spotify, we're going to get into some of this, some of the obvious ones. But I feel like it had been so long since we'd revisited a topic that both the old standby platforms that are available have evolved their apps to a certain degree and evolved their features. But also, I was personally curious, are there other options out there? And I think there are. And of course, you know, we're not – by no means is this going to be comprehensive. By no, you know, like right out of the gate, I'm going to tell you that if you're a Slacker radio user, you're going to be disappointed, or TuneIn radio. We're not talking about either of those platforms. But I, you know, I just thought it would be a healthy kind of moment to, A, for us to talk about what apps we're using currently, and also, you know, kind of what, you know, like I for one didn't even know Tidal was still around on Android until I started digging into this, and sure enough, it is.
Heck,
and it's got,
yeah, it is.
It's gotten pretty interesting. Yeah. So, so I don't want to get too caught up in, I don't want to get too caught up in the concept of a streaming service versus a Google, a music app on Android, because it's very easy to fall into the trap of like, well, this service offers these features and all this stuff. Those are important, but for this case, I want to have like the lens of us talking about it on Android. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think an important part of that conversation is just the fact that when we used to talk about music on Android a lot years ago, Android as a platform was a very different place, right? And the conversation very often was, this is available over there, but it isn't available over here. Or what we have is either feature limited or the design really stinks. And I think that by and large, like they're very much on par now between, let's say, iOS and Android from a design standpoint, from a features and just availability standpoint. All of those services now coexist on both sides of the coin.
Yeah, and I mean, even with Apple Music emerging on Android now, it's more, I don't want to say copacetic, but it's more, what's, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it's more even across all both platforms than ever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All right. So let's start things off. So Google Play Music is the obvious choice. That's my audio platform of choice as of now. I don't know about you guys, but
we'll get to mine.
To be honest, I'm not a big fan of the app. I don't actually like the direction it's taken in recently.
That's why I don't use it.
Yeah, right?
I don't like the app. Not that what's coming up is any better, but...
Right. So I mean, to touch upon the major kind of aspects of it, you know, you pay $9.99 a month to get access to it. It also gives you access to YouTube Red at the same time. They combine those two things. They've got over 40 million songs on it, which is pretty much the standard number for the premier platform services. But the app itself, the evolution of the app, both on the web as well as on Android, has adopted this. If you go back to the hamburger menu there, Jason, has adopted this kind of organization of, you know, you've got your home, you've got your recent listening, then their top charts, new releases, your library. They bolted on podcasts, which nobody uses. And then they've got radio stations. But then, so that's pretty much, you know, kind of very similar and similar to what a lot of the other platforms are. But if you go back to your home feed, what they've done is that as opposed to bubbling up your records your albums or anything like that, they're bubbling up, you know, they're trying to use what they know about you on the phone as to, you know, it's Tuesday evening, this is what you should listen to at night, or here bands are playing near you. They're using a lot of intelligence, but it's never anything I want to listen to.
Yeah, and I, you know, for me personally, I just tend to, like, blame that on the fact that my kids pollute my music.
They're better algorithm.
So, you know, like, I could care less about, you know, for fans of Sia, you're wrong. I am not a fan of Sia.
You know, she's produced a lot of
She has. I'm sure she's really great. But the few songs I've heard, like, I don't choose to listen to them, but my kids do. And unfortunately, you know, often that's because they're logged in as me. But I mean, anytime apps do this thing where, like, we know what you want before you do, it never works. Like, in theory, that sounds really great, but I've tried and it's never something that I rely on.
And what frustrates me is that a lot of their playlists or a lot of their radio stations are based off of, you know, these are songs that other people have listened to together.
Yeah.
So obviously that must be something you want. And for me, there's no way to be like, okay, I get that, but I don't like this band, right? So like if there's a playlist that comes up, there's inevitably a song or a band, several of them, where I'm just like, nope, I don't want that in here. And there's no way to kind of, you know, say no to it. which frustrates me. Also, I find just in general, their curation lags. Like I'm every Friday, mm-hmm. I'm in the new release section looking for new albums, and I'll see albums that I know have come out not on that list, and they don't appear for a couple of days. And I'm like, how hard is that? You know? And it just the whole tile based navigation, I find myself getting more frustrated than not with it. So
it's messy and hard to navigate. It looks overwhelming.
But I mean, this is a design that Google's had now for what, 3 years? You know, that they showed off at Google I/O quite a while ago. Maybe someday
but they've had this refresh. They've had this longer than 3 years. This has been like this since.
Yeah, it's been a long
2010.
It's evolved though in recent years. It has evolved though. They changed. They went to the homepage like within the last 2 years with all that, you know, your mood and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, you're right, Flo. The bones of it is about 2 years.
I mean, this is my music service, but it's my music service because all of my music library is uploaded to there.
That's the problem. Me too. So my music library is uploaded to there, and their matching software is very frustrating. I'll go into the app and I'll look up an artist. And an artist that I uploaded the MP3 from my library for, but it'll also match to their library, and I'll get the same album, and I'll have repeats of songs because there are two entries in their database for it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I really do find myself being more frustrated than not with it. I either needed to not upload my account, my whole library, and just use the service, or I don't know. It's a mess now. It's like I find myself finding more and more often the records I want to listen to are just a mess.
Mm, yeah.
So. Yeah.
No good.
But that said, if you do pay the $9.99 a month, you do get access to YouTube Music, which is basically just a filtered app version of YouTube Red just for all the music that's on YouTube. And this is something that I've never been comfortable with, the filtering of YouTube for music.
Yeah, I mean, neither. It's certainly not something that I ever jump into and play. But I feel like YouTube Music isn't designed or intended for me. That's how I've always felt.
It's
anytime
for
I open it up.
Literal children,
yeah.
Because that's how the kids get their content now. They love. They just sop this stuff up with bread.
Yeah. And what I find really interesting is actually there's at South by Southwest. We have an article here, Victor. You're gonna pull it up. But at South by Southwest, the head of YouTube's head of music teased a new subscription service, and the direct quote that he said in that. Is that the new service is going to combine the best of Google Play Music's context server mm-hmm. and YouTube's breadth and depth of catalog, mm-hmm. which right. is mm-hmm. kind of owning up to the fact that YouTube has a larger catalog than the 40 million songs of Google Play Music, which is crazy.
God, that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
But is it because YouTube became the platform upon which every person watches every music video? I mean, we don't watch music videos. And if you launch a music video, you're going to do it through like the Vivo, which they're going to produce it and take care of the rights for it and all of that stuff.
If you launch a music video. I mean, think of how many, however many songs are in Play Music library that have no music videos. I would imagine more than not have music videos, like actually have created music videos. How on earth does the number of you know, albums, songs, whatever on YouTube outnumber that? I don't know.
Well, that's how many B-sides are uploaded with a slideshow of photos from
that's crazy.
Oh, what an amazing music video that slideshow was.
The whole YouTube thing is pretty crazy. So, all right. So moving on, and we know we got a lot of these and I want to be mindful of time.
Yeah, we don't have to.
But Spotify is like the big other giant.
That's my music service of choice.
All right. By the way, tell us why. Tell us why.
I've been using it since I found out about Spotify for my friend who was living in Sweden at the time that Spotify became like the thing to use there. And I use it because it's just easy to find exactly the artists that I want to listen to and to just add them to a playlist just very easily. Just add. And I like
that's one of Spotify's strengths is that it's very heavy on playlists and playlist sharing and all that sort of stuff.
And I have a network on there as well. That's the other thing is I do have a small in real life network of friends where we trade playlists and we make playlists for each other. Playlists have become really popular in like if you have a yoga teacher you really love or a spin teacher or whatever, like they'll share their playlists with people if you're, you know, practicing or exercising at home. So that's like another great way a lot of celebrities use it as a way to kind of like connect. A lot of podcast hosts will use it to like make playlists. That's
yeah. I mean, it's very much a social. It's one of the I think one of the premier social sharing playlist platforms. It's just everyone, and the fact that you can listen to it for free with ads or pay the $9.99 a month. Like, there's no barrier of entry. Basically, like Flo, I can listen to your playlist if I don't pay for it, but I can still access it. It's not behind a wall.
Yep. The thing though that I absolutely love about Spotify, and I have to admit this is something I just realized, like the way that it works is as you add music to your general library. Now, the one caveat about being a Spotify user is that the library maxes out at 10,000 songs. This is something that has been popping up recently in my social media feeds. A lot of my friends have been complaining, you know, my music loving friends have been saying, oh crap, I'm out of room on Spotify. Which is like, that's insane and that needs to be changed. I would gladly pay more money for a larger library. But the thing is the algorithm works really dang well. The Discover Weekly, between my husband and I, it's our favorite like part of the week, is every Monday you log into Spotify. There you go, your Discover Weekly. And the music that you've been digging, the music that you've been listening to, that you've added to your library recently, the algorithm will find stuff in that realm. And it won't just find new stuff. It'll find stuff from, like, you know, 7 to 10 years ago. You know, for instance, I just had an Incubus kick, again, with the millennial music.
You're just trolling me at this point.
I am. And, you know, it'll kind of resurface some of that. But then I'm also still listening to my regular music, which is, like, I listen to a lot of retro waves. It'll still put, like, a couple of singles of that in there. The caveat, though, again, just hitting it with a caveat, is that sometimes the artists that you absolutely love will not have their album on Spotify on day one because they'll have an exclusivity deal. But I think we're going to run into that with a couple of these services anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that happens left and right. I mean, that's the big differentiator. We have it. You can only get this record here. We'll get to that in a couple there. But personally, I don't use Spotify. I have an account. I rarely ever use it. I don't love their design. I don't love their information architecture.
You can't, by the way, curate your playlists very well from the Android app. I don't know if it's the same for iOS, but for instance, if I hate a song on my playlist, I can't delete it. So there are, it was definitely designed desktop first.
Yeah. Jason, you're on Google Play Music, right? So you're not on Spotify.
Play Music, and actually of pretty much all the music services, Spotify is the one that I've probably used the least, even though it's probably one of the most popular out there, if not the most popular out there. I feel like maybe I just need to sign up.
They just went public like last week or something.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, they just went public.
Well, so did Dropbox, right? Or Dropbox is about to, right? That's anyway, all right, so moving on, Apple came onto the scene a couple of years ago and put Apple Music on Android, which is weird if you're an Android user to have an Apple app on it.
If you love Mac computers, Apple computers.
Yeah. But that's an interesting point, though, because you're talking about exclusivity, and Apple is very much known to have exclusive releases on iTunes, and up until this release,
calm down, Taylor
Android,
Swift.
Android users were out of it. And also they do a lot of, you know, kind of exclusive, you know, live recordings or things like that are exclusive to Apple. So if you want to get in on that action, you need to. But the interesting thing is that remember when Beats came out with their Beats Radio app?
Yes, Beats Radio
and then Apple.
One.
Yeah. Then Apple bought Beats and they folded that functionality into the Apple Music app. And I have a friend who swears by Beats One and loves
There's so many people who love that radio station.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. So
there's a cult following for the Beats. Oh, not a cult. There's just a following for the Beats One radio station. It's out there.
Yep. So that's a value for it. I'm not gonna crap on it just because it's Apple. I don't think that's fair. I think it's a fine app. I don't think it's amazing.
They've always been good about music, even in the iTunes days.
When it first launched on Android, I spent some time with Apple Music, and I felt like it was, in my short time with it was good for recommending music that I hadn't heard before. Like, it had a good I felt like it did a good job of being a recommendation engine for discovery, let's say. So there's that.
But I think from an app perspective, it's really paint by numbers. They aren't really, like, it's not super impressive to play with and the design and the interface and stuff like that. Yeah, it's pretty boring. Yeah. So
it's
which
Apple.
I think is a lot which which I think sums up a lot of the design aesthetic of iOS and Apple these days. You know, like, you know, it just seems like they whatever whoever's driving design there right now is pretty boring.
Here you go, Flo. Counting crows.
Now you're trolling me, Jason.
I would never troll you. If I was trolling you, I'd say Chumbawamba.
I like Chumbawamba.
Now you're trolling me.
No, Chumbawamba's a great old punk band. They were great. That happened to have one radio hit. But yeah, they're like anarchists. I love them. Okay, so I love our music tastes coming out during this.
I learned something new about Ron. Chumbawamba is off limits because they have a story that Ron actually likes.
Yeah, I like Chumbawamba. So, all right. The whole music streaming, I remember one of the first ones on the scene was Pandora. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you believe, you know, what's going on with them from a business standpoint, they're probably the ones with the most to lose or to gain at this point because they've been losing users to Spotify and to other platforms. And so they've recently redesigned. They redesigned their logo. They've redesigned their app. They were more of a just a random radio streaming option where you listen, you can listen for free with ads, or you say, I like this artist, and it'll start playing songs that are related to that artist or similar to it, but you had no control. But now they offer you could pay for Pandora Premium for $10 a month and get access to on-demand 40 million songs, et cetera, et cetera. But I was curious, you know, I haven't looked at the Pandora app in a while, and looking at it now, I was like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing. From a design standpoint, you know, like they're embracing, you know, Android. They've got Chromecast support. You know, it's got Material Design. It's nice.
Android Auto. It's also Android Auto support.
Yeah.
They also, I found out that they also do a cool feature that does an offline station. So if you don't have any connection, it'll just automatically, it already cached like a station for you in the back end, and it'll just load that, which I thought was very clever.
Yeah. And really, like, nice, you go, Chumbawamba. Pandora really leans into the personalized experience. Mm-hmm. So as you tell it what you like, it will make recommendations that I think are some of the best in the business because they've got so many years of data of this on top, you know, more so than anybody else, you know, because Pandora has been around since the mid-2000s, right? So, you know, so
they have
I think
been Pandora, around since the mid-2000s.
They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, seems like earlier than that.
Good for you. Pandora's the OG.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yep.
It's the long-standing player. It's the LP.
It's the LP. Nice. So Pandora's interesting. talking about exclusive releases, if you're a fan of Jay-Z, you have to get Tidal, I guess. But Tidal is still kicking around on Android. The most expensive of the options at $19.99 a month if you want the high res audio, like the high quality audio, or $9.99 like the rest of them, which is standard. I was surprised that they've got their library up to over, you know, to like 46 million songs now. Like I thought the ramp up of artists was going slower, but I was wrong.
I feel like there's so much parity in that regard now. I mean, there are services that have more or less, but really you're going to go on to these major ones and you're going to find most of what you're looking for.
Exactly. Well, we're going to get to that in a moment, but there is one that is lacking.
Okay.
Yeah, but
Tidal's good. I mean, Tidal I appreciated when I was, you know, doing some reviews of high-end audio products and stuff. Tidal was one of the few places that I could install and, you know, from a streaming service perspective, get that high-res audio.
I hear a lot about that.
Yeah, yeah. If that matters to you, friends, it's a good place to go.
Or the friends who really, you know, enjoyed listening to music, just listening to music and hearing it. It's like this is the like one that is event. The most, this is the one that is the closest to having like the LP stereo in your house.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's for, I know a lot of serious DIY sound people who love Tidal.
Yeah, it's because of that high-res audio catalog.
So I believe in it. I do.
I believe in you, Tidal.
I believe in the $20 a month subscription because I have heard from people that it is worth it for that reason alone, the hi-fi value. Because I have to tell you, sometimes when I'm in the car listening to Spotify and we're in a low latency area and that music doesn't sound that great, I remember what it's like to own CDs.
You remember and you pine for
the day.
I remember
CDs.
But I'll give Tidal credit for embracing, like if you look on the Google Play Store, like the first thing they list in their app description is new Tidal for Android TV. You know, so nice. They are looking at ways to embrace the Android experience, you know, and they've got, there's a lot of curation going on with it. And it's the highest quality out there. So you can find it. I haven't gone to it because I just feel like $20 a month is too much to spend for it, especially considering that I, you know, I own a lot of my MP3s or listen to records or whatever. Right. So it doesn't work for me. But, you know, yep. it's still kicking around. App itself, though, didn't really blow me away from an app standpoint. You know, again, it's just kind of doing what it's doing, just with a darker theme than Apple.
Yeah, what's funny, as we do side-by-sides on all of these, it just kind of in my brain, I'm like, you can only do so much with an app that surfaces square images everywhere.
Right.
Like, yeah, what can you do to really make it stand out?
And they've really settled on an interface with the play button in the middle and, like, the timeline, you know, so it's really kind of curious to see standard. How people are you know, differentiating where they can, and we're going to get to that in a moment as well, too.
Yeah.
I added a late entry, Jason, which you're probably not prepared for. I'd put it right before we started the show, but I forgot to include Amazon Music or Prime Music, because Amazon does offer a music service to Prime users as well as to non-Prime users, which is out there and, you know, is a competitor. One of the pros of it is that if you have an Amazon Echo or if you're in the Amazon ecosystem, you've got access to this already and you can use it. The app, like most Amazon Android apps, are fine. You know, they carry that Amazon design aesthetic and, you know, very similar to the Prime Video app, actually, I found. But one of the big drawbacks for Amazon is that they just have less of a library. And when we're talking about that 40 million threshold, Amazon boasts tens of millions of songs. And in my research, I found anywhere from 2 million to 30 million. And I know that's crazy, but I actually have been on someone's computer, an Amazon Echo, trying to play music and have Amazon strike out, which has never happened on any other platform, which I think is really interesting. Like, we wanted to hear that song and it just wasn't available, which is crazy. Like, to also think that now you just expect everything to be available, and when you hit a wall, it's shocking.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah, so, agreed.
Yeah. If you're an Amazon Prime member, I mean, this is there for you and use it. You know, like, if you want to use it, go for it.
Yeah, totally. No. You might as well. It's included.
So as part of this, I wanted the challenge to try to find one that I had never heard of or haven't used, just see what the independent competition was about. And I came across Deezer, which I don't know if we talked about on the show before. And
I feel
if
like
not,
Deezer as a you know, music app has come up here and there tangentially, but I don't know if we've really focused on it. And I certainly had never installed it.
I'll be honest with you guys. I might give this one a shot. I'm very impressed by what I've seen with Deezer so far.
You say more.
So as Jason's kind of showing off the app, just real quick, you know, it's $9.99 a month or $14.99 for a family plan, which is competitive with Google Play Music, right? It offers that same 40 million song threshold kind of approach. But then they've got two kind of things that are really interesting is that they've got, if you go back to home, it's got Flow, not our Flow, but their Flow. But it's this Flow functionality, which is similar to when Beats first came out, where it asks you questions based off what you like and will start making recommendations, which is cool. And I want to play with it to see how those recommendations look like. But it's that idea of personalized radio, but coming at it from a very intuitive interface, I thought, as we see Jason doing it here.
And oh, like any of these artists? Do you like this?
Right. It's totally Tinder style, you know, like or don't like, you know. And so the XX say don't like because it's going to put you to sleep. But what's cool is that it's playing some audio, like it's giving you a sample, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland. That's a good name.
Yeah.
Sure.
Metallica. You like
it. Don't.
DJ Coz.
I have no idea. Cozy. Is it Cozy or Cozy?
I think it's Cozy. These millennials.
Yeah.
No, I'm getting fast.
There you go.
I don't know who
you are. There should be I don't know instead of just yes or no.
Yeah.
Okay, awesomeness is now loading.
All right, and so that's the recommendation engine for fueling like a radio station?
Yeah. So it's going to give you kind of a personal soundtrack. So when you press play on Flow, on the Flow, it should go through and it should just start streaming.
Velvet Revolver.
So interesting. I mean, it's neat doing something. It's got Chromecast, as you can see there in the upper corner. So it's embracing Android, you know, from general. But then they've also integrated Lyrics, which is really, which no one else has done. Right. And there's a cool interface for that, you know, like this karaoke kind of style interface. like, that's pretty cool. That shows innovation that no one else is really doing, you know, in terms of thinking how to make the app different, you know, from the other folks. So good on Deezer for that. I'm
how
very
cool.
Yeah, it's not neat.
I know the song.
Her.
Yeah. Okay. Neat.
So that's pretty cool, right?
Nice.
Yeah. So they've got playlists. You can download. You can download offline stuff, so you don't have to be connected. They've got live radio stations. You can import your MP3s to it. You can share playlists. You know, so I don't know. Like, Deezer really impressed me, and I might actually give it a shot.
Nice. Yeah, it looks good. You should as you use it, let us know how it goes, how it compares.
Now, on the other side of it, I looked at Django, which is Django Radio, which mm-hmm. I thought was really funny because I wanted to find like a free kind of option, and Django is totally free. Right? So it's a free streaming radio. The app doesn't look horrible. The website looks like out of 2002, which is really crazy. But basically it's much like old Pandora. And it offers, offers free streaming radio stuff based off their playlists or based off other artists or things like that. And it can be personalized based off your interests, what you like and what you dislike. The app is actually, given how bad their website looks, the app is surprisingly well designed, surprisingly like fresher than the website. But if you're looking for a free option, Django is one to consider. They, you know, it's kind of a balance between material design and doing kind of like that, you know, kind of standard rectangle, you know, square album interface type thing. So.
I think I might be having Android P issues.
I would not be surprised if it's not ready for Android P.
Yeah.
Consider that on their Google Play Store profile, they say available for any device running Android 2.1 or newer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And but the app was updated April 5th. So it's not. Okay.
All right.
And then finally, very quickly, you can find other music. Four more to get through real very quickly. We talked about the streaming services. Those are the ones where you can pay and you get access to those 40 million songs. But like Django and like old Pandora, there's other apps that take advantage of the playlist organization similar to Spotify, but just that. So there's an app called AudioMac, which I think has been in the arena. I can't remember. But AudioMac is basically just, they say it's mixtapes and playlists and that's it for more, you know, and it's free or with ads or $1.99 a month. Mm-hmm. So they're really leaning on new music and they're really leaning on, you know, the kind of people uploading their music. If you're looking for new stuff, if you're looking, you want to follow what's trending, you know, that sort of thing, it could be worth looking at. But I thought it was good because it just has a different interface and a different kind of approach and a kind of, I want to say in a slang term, but a fresher design, you know,
like
those bold, nav points up top and everything.
Fresh.
But, this one definitely leans way more towards hip hop and EDM and stuff like that. You know, those kind of mixtapes that get passed around that used to be on CDs and now they're, you know, kind of here. So if you're into that, hip hop and electronic music, then, you know, this could be one to check out. And then there's the old standby of the one that I feel like kind of wrote the book on this was A-Trax. A-Trax is I used A-Trax years ago to make playlists on, and it's, free streaming, or you can pay $4.99 a month, I think, to get, no interruptions or no ads. But it's all curated playlists. People can make playlists and you can discover them, and expand from there. So, but
yeah, A-Trax, I think I reviewed this for Arena and it was really good for this kind of like playlist generation.
I don't think they've updated this app for a while. I think it's been a couple of years since they've updated it, which always makes me worry. Like, you want to see at least like a recent update, but the last update to this was November 2016. So, and it's still listed as beta, even though it's got 5 million
teenage
installs.
Teenage Styles. Hold on. Who is that Teenage Styles, that Lonely and Sad playlist?
I don't know, but that playlist is from 2014.
Wow.
So yeah, some of these are a little old.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a little stale.
Yeah.
And then finally, I thought we should touch upon just music player apps. Like, maybe you have a library of MP3s and you don't want to pay for streaming and you just want to be able to listen to your music that you own. I found two that I thought were well designed and good interfaces. There's Pulsar Music Player, which is basically an MP3 player that can, you know, pull up your local library and give you a nice kind of material design, you know, kind of approach to it.
By the way, when I said yes to Metallica earlier, it was this era. Okay.
Of course.
I just want everybody to understand.
Wow.
It was,
all right. Okay.
It was this and before.
It was
it was Justice and before. Yeah, it was definitely pre-Napster.
I like Pulsar because it's one of the few ones that still has Last.fm scrobbling integration.
So does Spotify, by the way. Spotify also has Last.fm scrobbling.
I still scrobble all my music.
I do too.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's like the holdover from 2005. But
thing.
But Pulsar's got Chromecast support. Like, it just seems to be a solid music based, you know, kind of interface for a local one. And a newer one I saw is called, which I think we talked about in the past, is Phonograph. Yes.
Yeah,
I like that icon. I like that.
Yeah. It's a great icon, and it's just straight up material design.
Nice UI.
Like,
that's a really nice UI.
Yeah, it's pretty much Phonograph. I've used quite a bit, and it's very, very much the kind of straight kind of old, kind of the first gen material design approach.
Look how good it looks on the Pixel 2 XL.
Yeah, I've used this one a lot.
Look at that.
Yeah. There we go. I should mention real quick that another one that I use a lot is SoundCloud, which I think, you know, gets thought of as YouTube for audio. So it's easy to think of it less as like a straight up music service. I don't really use it as, you know, a way to listen to the same music that I would go to play music to listen to. Like, oh, so-and-so released a new album, I'm going to go to SoundCloud. Although they do have their own music service. But SoundCloud is really great for kind of indie, independent release music. And I find myself there
a lot. That's how I used to find dance mixtapes. I would just go on SoundCloud and see like what my favorite... Because it used to be blog DJs. Those used to be the big thing before like... They became, you know, and they would put their stuff on SoundCloud.
And then SoundCloud, I think, kind of bolted down on those mixtapes.
Because
and so
of
now
licensing.
There's an app and service called Mixcloud that is really good for that stuff, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, you can find a lot of DJ mixes and stuff there. So, wow, that was long.
It's because we love music. It's a big part of what we use our phones for.
I was going to say that was long, but that was an exhaustive complete look at, I think, nearly every, we missed stuff, but one thing I can say after like doing side by side, because we literally showed off examples of every single app there, is that design for these apps has come a long way.
Yep.
And at the same time, like, yes, it's come a long way, but they're all very similar, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the design is not the part of these apps that's really holding you back, nor is in many of the cases the library, because most of them have a great library now. So I don't know, everybody seems to have it, you know, their music service is such a person's kind of personal choice of why this over that.
I was going to say, and it's funny because by looking at it with fresh eyes, I'm looking for who's innovating and who isn't, mm-hmm. and what can make my music experience better at that point, you know, and that's why, you know, and so I'm not going to get rid of Google Play Music just because I'm on the $7.99. Like, I got the discount when it started. It's still, I don't pay a lot for it, but, and all my music is uploaded to there, but like, I'm going to check out Deezer because I like what they're doing. They're trying to do something different, try something add to it. I don't know how often I'll use that lyrics function, but I think it's fun when you want to, you know, do something, you know, when you want to know what a song is, having the lyrics right there as opposed to going to the web to look it up. Like, I want to see them embrace, you know, how do you evolve the idea of music on these phones?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
Cool.
Well, thanks for diving into that.
Yeah, music. Well, I want and let's call out to the audience, to all of our listeners. Let us know what you use. Is there one that we forgot? Are you a huge iHeartRadio fan and we just didn't talk about that one? Are you ride or die on Google Play Music or Spotify? Or is there one, you know, one that we should check out? Please let us know, and you all can email us. What is our email address?
AAA@twit.tv.
Yeah, exactly. So cool. All right, you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
All right, we're going to thank our first sponsor. We want to thank WordPress for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And a lot of you listening for years, you know that I'm very active on the internet, on the web. I've got lots of websites out there. And if you visit any sites I've worked on, you know that it's the center of my presence. it reflects, you know, who I am, what I stand for, what I'm working on, my best foot forward on the web. And I use WordPress.com because it gives me the freedom and flexibility to share my voice, my work, my way. You can make your site your own when you build it on WordPress.com. And I'm not even lying here. You don't need to do any coding or design. WordPress provides all the tools you need to get your site up and running. And I am a testament to that. I am a bad coder. That's why I got out of coding. And yet I'm able to get WordPress sites up and running because they make it so easy. And even if you run into a problem, their customer support team is there 24/7 to help. So you get customer support Monday through Friday and on weekends too. WordPress offers powerful e-commerce options ranging from a simple and effective buy button to a complete online store. Their plans start at just $4 a month. So when you're ready to expand your business's online reach, WordPress makes it easy. They've got built-in SEO, search engine optimization for those out there, social sharing, and specialized plugins to meet all your needs. And this is just amazing. The internet is so vast and so huge, and yet 30% of all websites run on WordPress. Think about that. Nearly a third of the internet is running on WordPress, and there's a reason for that, because WordPress is so great and so easy to use. So get started today. Get 15% off any new plan purchase. Go to WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website. That's WordPress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your brand new website. That's WordPress.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank WordPress for their support and for making me look good on the internet and making it easy to update my sites. Thank you, WordPress.
Thank you, WordPress. WordPress.com. And now we've got three, not one, not two, but three hardware stories. Burr. Starting with this bit of interesting news, Flo.
Well, this one is fun because, of course, we have the Google I.O. flowers that will be sprouting soon.
After all the rain.
After all the rain. Excuse me. And one particular flower that might sprout up, to continue with the metaphor, is maybe a new Chromecast dongle, perhaps, possibly. A 4K Chromecast dongle for those of us who may have, you know, dropped the cash on the 4K TVs. So this one was discovered by one of the friends of the show, Daniel Tyson at Ozdroid. A 4K ATV stick with a big Google G on it. This just flew through the FCC. That looks curiously like the current iteration of the Chromecast, except a little more oblong, ish.
Kind of like a teardrop.
Yes, actually, that's better. A teardrop, maybe to indicate its 4K-ness somehow. I don't know.
Maybe to indicate that it's crying.
Or yeah,
you're crying
sure.
After you paid so much for a 4K TV and you have nothing to watch on it.
Sure. It includes a voice remote with an assistant button for control. And it basically looks like a Chromecast that would run Android TV. It's running Oreo, and there's also a manual posted for it, which kind of lends a little more credence to a little rumorette.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this is FCC, so this is going through. Some people are questioning whether the G on it, like, was placed there, and maybe this is like a sub brand, you know, some sort of other brand, that it's not Google hardware. But I feel like
it's photoshopped.
Yeah, I don't.
It's always a question.
Like, if this is direct from the FCC, I have to imagine this is a Google piece of hardware. And I could totally see Google. They haven't updated their Nexus, the player. You know, that was a couple of years old. Mm. Chromecast is still a category that they tend to update. Why wouldn't the next step for the Chromecast dongle be to integrate Android TV capability?
I have a feeling it won't look like this. I have a feeling this is just for FCC certification. I have a feeling
maybe
that's
a cover.
Yeah,
that they snapped on it.
I mean, come on, look at the stuff we got for the Chromecast audio and the usual Chromecast. You know, I've got two beautiful red dongles at home, you know, adorning my TVs.
Beautiful red dongles.
And I would really appreciate, you know, keeping the theme going if I can. And also, look at that cord. It looks so cheap. Like, I can't imagine Google would put something like that in a box. I feel like they would go, if they did anything, maybe they would go white aesthetic like they have been with the other.
But I gotta imagine, does the FCC have to look at is that just whatever was submitted to the FCC for testing and approval, but then the go-to-market product looks much better? What I mean?
Yeah, I would hope
like
so.
I wouldn't be surprised if you get a nicer cable, you get a, you know, like, if this is true, I doubt it's going to look like this when it's in our hand coming out of the box.
Yeah, I would agree. If you scroll down on that, Victor, you end up seeing kind of the remote control. Oh, there's some extra photos.
HDMI.
Of that as well.
sticking out there.
But yeah, you end up seeing the remote control down below. So
look at that assistant button.
It's nice and plain, like the Apple TV one, by the way. There's no, like, it's just nice and plain.
Extra stiff. So Ron Richards, our resident Google TV. What was it called before it was Android TV? Was it Google TV?
Google TV. It was Google TV.
Our resident Google TV expert. What do you think about this?
I mean, I think it's legit. Whether or not it's exactly this or not, I feel like the next evolution of this is an Android TV dongle with the assistant. I think the assistant is the assistant inclusion is the thing that makes me think it's plausible because so much of what they're doing is driven by assistant. I'm walking through the subways in New York City every day and seeing the Google Do It ads on the subways. They're going hard on assistant. And if this is a Roku competitor, it's got 4K support. It's got the whole operating system on the dongle. You just plug it in your TV and it works. It could be a game changer. It could be a real player.
Oh, I want to see how it works with the Google Home app.
Yeah.
That's like,
oh yeah.
I'm just imagining, you know, the possibilities.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would probably tie in similar to how it does with a Chromecast, but maybe the fact that it's Android TV gives it a little bit more capability. It would be interesting to me from the perspective of the set-top box kind of paradigm. Has been such a constant that you need, in order to do a lot of this stuff, you need that little box, that big or little box, you know, taking up shelf space. But I guess Roku's kind of been doing a lot of this stuff.
Roku's got a stick.
Yeah, yeah. They've got the
and
stick.
They come
so this
built
is an outside
They come built into some TVs. Yeah. TCL.
Amazon Fire HD Fire Stick is a stick, right? It's doable as a stick. Yeah. And the thing is that I think Google, there's been this is all speculation, but there's a sector of Google that has held on to Chromecast as the solution. And we all know Chromecast is awesome. It's an amazing technology. Watch a normal person try to use it. It's just not intuitive. It's confusing. And honestly, I love Chromecast. The dang thing disconnects halfway through.
It does.
I'm watching an hour show and the phone is no longer connected to the Chromecast and I got to go into the Google Home app and do
it. I had to restart this morning to remove a stuck notification.
Exactly. So imagine being able to plug in a dongle the same size as the Chromecast and have a set-top box functionality and a remote and you don't need to throw something from your phone to it and look for the icon and all that sort of stuff. It just it minimizes friction, which I think for going for a consumer marketplace, that's so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed.
Cool. So maybe we'll find out more about that at Google I.O. or maybe we'll wait until the November hardware.
I don't have 4K TV, so I can't use it anyway. It's still stuck in the past.
Well, I don't have 4K either.
I don't have 4K either.
I wonder if it would still work on less
than 4K. I asked my cousin-in-law, who's a huge movie nerd, and he was 4K. I'm like, be honest. Can you tell the difference? Because I really believe that at a certain resolution, a certain point, it becomes imperceptible to the eye. Mm-hmm. And he says, it looks great, but I notice it when I go down to non-4K. Stuff looks worse.
Yeah, I can see
and
that.
That's interesting, I think. You know, like I know seeing the amazing 100-inch screen of CES running 4K with these vistas or whatever, but put a movie in and do I notice it or not? But on the downshift, you notice it. I think that gives it the value.
Something that you recognize, that you've seen before.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So. Yes.
All right. Well, moving on. The war of the notches continues. This time Essential is getting in the ring with an interesting angle that I didn't predict. So the good folks at Essential are adding an option into their settings that we probably will see become more standard as notch phones become more common. An Oreo 8.1 for Essential phone includes, quote, Essential notch settings in developer settings. And basically what this does is it determines what happens in the notch area when the phone is in landscape mode. So the Essential recommended will either use or not use the notch per Essential's own choice. And the options in there are don't use in landscape will keep any content from rendering in the notch area. So videos don't have a side notch. Always use notch area will expand all landscape content into the notch area for true full screen. And it also includes settings on a per app basis to allow for notches in some apps and not in others. So
to notch or not to notch?
The Notch as landscape is a very interesting pro. I mean, the Notch has introduced more problems than it's solved, I think.
I mean, it's definitely introduced problems. I guess the question is, how much does it really bug people?
Away from
Yeah, you're not feeling the Notch.
I like my bezels.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Basically, what this is doing is creating bezel to get around the Notch, which I think if you have a Notch on your phone, is probably the right way to go. Give the user the ability to determine, yes, I want that cutout on the side, or no, I don't.
Because, or let me customize the cutout. Let it be like those stickers you put on the back of cars. You know, like Calvin peeing on something. Just let me choose that.
You want a Notcher sticker. Like a bumper sticker, but for your Notch.
Sure.
Cool. Zag or some company like that needs to come up with that. Do that.
Yeah.
And then finally, speaking of Notches, yes, the Notch keeps going. If you really, really like Notches, then you might love the ZTE Iceberg. Images to WinFuture show the device renders with a bezel-less front display, of course, and not one, but two Notches. We heard you like Notches, so we gave you more Notches.
I can get on board with this. I like the symmetry.
It makes
really
up for the Notch.
To me. Yeah, it's appealing to me.
Okay. All right. Top and bottom, by the way, there would be a Notch at the top and the bottom.
It's nice and even. That's good for those of us with slight OCD.
that's true. It does even it out a little bit. The top Notch would encase the speaker, the front-facing camera, and the ambient light sensor.
Okay.
The bottom encases the other speaker, so dual front-facing speakers.
It has a reason to exist, and you have no bezel. Great. Perfect. Let's hope it works.
Well, I think, but I mean, the Notch had a reason to exist when it wasn't symmetrical. It was to let those other things there and still extend the display, right?
Exactly, but I like the fact that is literally used for what it is supposed to house.
Yeah.
Not only on the top, but on the bottom as well.
Yeah, just wait for the phone that decides to do symmetrical Notches and there's nothing in the bottom one. It's just like, well, we just wanted to appeal to
those of you that
we know you like symmetry, Florence. And so
I do actually really I do appreciate I hate it when it's like rounded on the top and not on the bottom.
Yeah.
It's like a whole thing. But I also, just design wise, I like the little whatever is going on with the corner edges there.
Well, okay. That's so cute. That is called the phone is the Iceberg, right?
Yeah.
And that's because of those transparent glass corners that make the phone resemble a fragment of ice, as they
say. I think it looks more like a Star Trek thingy.
It does kind of have a sci-fi like a quality to it.
Yes, it's very sci-fi.
Although, man, if that's really glass and it's on the edges, do not drop this phone. Because you're in for a bad day.
I mean, you really shouldn't drop any phone in this day and age because they've become very fragile pieces of art.
Yeah.
Like all of them.
That's true. But don't drop this one. You can,
especially this
one. Drop any phone, but if you're going to drop one, make sure it's not this one.
I have to. So, when do we think this is going to be announced?
This is just leaked ahead. I don't think we actually know exactly when.
I was going to say, if this is coming out in the summertime and it's being called Iceberg, missed opportunity of winter marketing.
Yeah, but in the summertime, sometimes ice is nice.
Ice is nice.
All right. We've got a wall of email, as we've been doing. We're going to do a lightning round right after we take this break and thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android. The sponsor is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you've if you've gone through the journey, the mortgage journey, you might already know, and you don't need me to tell you that it's not that easy. There's a whole lot of hoops, a whole lot of hurdles, and really, we live in a digital age, so this stuff should be a little bit easier. Just wasn't keeping up with the times. It's dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution, and that is why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence that you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all of the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's also powerful. Whether you happen to be looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, your assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can then analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify, and then find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right. Are we ready for 10 fast, like lightning round minutes of emails? We've got a whole wall. There's no way we're going to get through them all, but we're certainly going to try. Ron, you got the first one.
I go first. First comes up from loyal listener Wendy. I'm going to thank Wendy in advance. She says, exposing your ears to loud sounds isn't only about hearing loss. It could lead to tendonitis and tinnitus. I have it, and it's almost maddening to hear a constant ringing. I went to all the live rock concerts back in the 60s and 70s. After that, I wore headsets for decades, starting with a Walkman, then an iRiver MP3 player, then mobile phones. I didn't care about hearing loss either. So what? I have to turn up the volume to hear. However, I didn't anticipate the ringing. The ringing is all day. It's louder at night. I can't hear certain sounds over the noise of my ears. Please use your speakers whenever you can to avoid something directly into your ears. I'm in a position now where I can listen using the speakers over my Pixel 2 XL and rarely use the headsets. This won't repair the ringing. Just stop further damage. Ron, please care for your ears. And Wendy, I appreciate this. And in fact, this is referring to last week's episode where we had a fantastic conversation with friend of the show, Juan Bagnell, about audio technology and hearing loss and things like that. And I went to 3 rock shows in the past 3 nights.
Yes.
I saw Superchunk Saturday night. I saw Superchunk Sunday night. And I saw the Go Team last night. And I'm right there with you, Wendy. I got a ringing in my ears that won't go away. And I know. And I thought about you all. And I know. I'll try to be better about it. But yeah, you're right. I know it's the road I'm on. But what are you going to do?
We care about you, Ron. Wendy, Flo, Victor, Burke from the other room. They'll probably yell as confirmation.
I want to also say,
yep. just did.
The more you keep saying what to your family,
they love it.
They really love it.
Oh, they love it. My wife loves it.
What?
Yeah.
Yes. And by the way, Wendy did have tendonitis in there and then a correction, tinnitus. It is tinnitus. Tendonitis is with your muscles. All right, Flo, go.
As my Nexus 6P begins its death throes, I lament the current state of phone pricing. My wife and I purchase phones at the same time and always get identical phones. That must be nice. Mostly so I can better help her if she has issues with hers. So take the price of any phone, double it, and that is what we would spend on one. The Nexus 6P was such a great deal for us. A Google phone without any extra fluff on top with a great camera and a total cost of less than $1,000. Now, in order to match that quality, we are looking to at least double that. I hope that with the Pixel 3, Google takes a page out of Samsung's playbook and lowers the price, or at least releases a mid-priced phone in the U.S. I would rather not mortgage my house, I exaggerate, for these expensive pocket bricks, but I just might have to. And that's from Jeremy. And I have to say, I believe that we've been hearing, I saw some rumors rumbling about while I was on vacay, when I wasn't supposed to be looking at Twitter, about a potential mid-range Pixel phone. Or is it a high-end Pixel phone? I think it's one of both.
Right, mid-range. Yeah, we did talk about that a little bit last week, how there might be a mid-range Pixel device.
And of course, Jeremy, if you decide that you want to head over to Project Fi, I not everybody agrees with me, but I endorse the Moto X4. I think it's great. Android One, bare bones, $400 for each of you.
For each of you.
And actually, I think, I don't know if Project Fi is having a deal. Maybe they are. But this is a lightning round, so.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want
to. That should give you fuel to look up. But there are options in the lower price categories, but we understand your plight. Alan Ashcroft wrote in to say, firstly, I am a longtime listener, was even burned by Ron for a video mail that I submitted wearing a Bazinga t-shirt.
Bazinga!
But besides that, I think you inadvertently had a fix for the Facebook privacy issue with an app you had in the arena. I can't remember which episode, but after your arena review, I started using Folio Pro for Facebook, mainly at the time because I hated Facebook Messenger and objected to the size of the Facebook app. Anyways, as this is a web page wrapper front end for Facebook, doesn't that mean that Facebook hasn't been able to access anything else like the call data on my phone? It certainly seems that way to me, so thank you guys. I'm feeling very smug right now. Cheers. Keep up the great work. Maybe a bit less millennial speak for us oldies, please, says Alan.
Sorry. And also, was I the one who brought that to the arena?
I'm not sure. You may have been, actually.
Because or maybe it was Ron.
Yeah. Might have been me.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But I used to use this back in the day.
I pulled up the app and took a look at the permissions. Here's what it has listed. This app has access to your location, your approximate location, which is network-based, precise location, GPS network-based. It can read the contents of your USB storage, modify or delete the contents of your USB storage, read the contents of USB storage, modify, blah, blah, blah. So photos, media files, storage, receive data from the internet. View network connections, full network access, run a startup. So I think technically you're right that it limits access via the app to Facebook on certain number of things. Not entirely, though. There are certain signals that are still passing through Folio, so keep that in mind. But just a good reminder on some of these apps to definitely take a look. Don't take our word for it. Sometimes yeah. We review these things. We might not, you know, we might miss something or whatever. But especially as we know now, particularly today with all the hearings with Facebook and all that kind of stuff, it's good for you to take a responsibility in your hands and check these things so that you know 100% what you're actually sending to these apps. There you go.
Fair enough. Next email from Kyle says, it appears Oreo killed the ability to have separate notifications for individual labels in Gmail. This was handy in the past as I could set up filters for emails to go into different labels, and just from the sounds coming out of my pocket, I could know if it was urgent or could be ignored for a while. There's been a thread about this issue going on in the Gmail help forum since last year, which has mostly devolved into repeated posts of Google doesn't care about us with no real help. I don't know if you guys would have any solutions other than wait for Google to fix it, but I was hoping maybe you could use your platform to give a little exposure to the issue. We all know the Android development team watches the show, or at least they should. And you're absolutely right, Kyle. They should. So, so you are correct. Oreo no longer allows distinct sounds for labels. Before that, you could assign different sounds for labels. So someone could set, you know, your very important label to ding a certain sound and know to pick up your phone. I don't know why they'd get rid of that.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a pretty handy thing.
Maybe to have you use it in inbox or something? I don't know.
No, but you can't even do that in inbox. Yeah. I checked in inbox as well. I think sometimes, I mean, Google just has so many different disparate teams working on different things.
Maybe they didn't know.
These changes happen, and then it's like, well, we can no longer do that thing because this change happened over here. And then, as we know with Google, you know, it can take a really long time for some of those old features to be reintroduced.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing a quick Google search, and I see people writing articles about this in 2011. Right. So like that's been around for 7 years. Is it just that it's so depreciated that they just moved on from it? Or is it a sign of functionality to come? I don't know. It's a bummer, though. Hopefully they deal something with it because it seems like that's a powerful tool. So,
yeah. Or that maybe there's an
or
app that
do you do that
you do
from
that.
The notificate? Do you do that from the contacts app where you go in and you set a specific sound for?
No, because it's label based. It's not
label based. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So for like the junk mail and stuff.
Right. All right, Flo, you're up next.
I am up next, just as I'm like about to sneeze. Okay, don't sneeze. Appreciate the suggestions on making my S9 Plus more like stock Android. I researched Ron's suggestion on using TWRP, twerp. Luckily, I read up on it carefully before spending too much time. This solution does not work on the Snapdragon variants, which are the only ones sold in the U.S. Not the best headline or article, since they bury this very important detail down in the second paragraph.
Oh, I must have missed that article.
I am now using Nova, and it solves most of my issues. Thanks again for the suggestions, Will. I will say, when you have an interface issue, usually Nova will fix that darn thing. I've heard a lot of that. Or Action Launcher, or any of the other launcher apps. And, you know, they've gotten so much better in the last 5 years even. Just so many features.
Yeah, we've got more along this line, including Dave Coleman, who also wrote in about this during the email segment on show 363. Jason suggested using Nova or Action Launcher as a way to get more of a stock Android experience. I was surprised nobody suggested Google Now Launcher. I think you suggested that, Ron. But anyways.
I did.
I'm surprised nobody suggested Google Now Launcher. I started using it when I was forced to switch from a Nexus 5 to a Samsung Note 5. I was and am still very impressed with how close to the stock experience it provides. It has been extremely stable. Even now on my Note 8, and it, along with the Smart Switch app, made the switch from the 5 to the 8 extremely easy. Just thought I'd share that the Google Now Launcher has made living with a Samsung phone actually enjoyable and not just tolerable. That's a good solution as well. Google Now as a thing tends to be a little bit, you know, as year after year tends to be older and older. So while that launcher is great, I fear that it might be being left behind now that pixels are a thing.
I think it's very different. I think it's going to be it's very different now with the news drawer that we have.
Right. So, I mean, keeping it similar to what, say, you have on the Pixel, maybe they aren't directly the same because the Pixel has its own type of launcher.
Difficult to do with Bixby. Yeah.
Right. No, that's true. All right, Ron, you're up.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I thought we were going to stop.
Oh, that was it. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I forgot.
I thought we had a hard stop. We're going to
No, no. We're good. Other than to say CK Ilps also really had things to say on that too. But that's okay. We're going to stop there. Actually, I don't think so. I think we got through the right ones. All right, cool. We're good.
Maybe quickly. Android Central does have a little Make Your Galaxy S9 software look like Google Pixel write up. So go check that out if you need helps.
And it has some other suggestions in there too. Thank you.
If you're desperate for
something. That's what I was looking for.
Because I totally get it.
All right. We're going to stop there, but we're not stopping entirely because it's time for the arena.
Yeah.
Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Pinball, which Ron loves.
Oh, that's right. That's true. Last week, we had three apps in the arena, and it turns out that Audio Evolution Mobile Studio gets the win with 40% of the votes.
Who brought that one?
All right.
Juan Bagnell brought that and assembled his crew on Twitter. Yeah, I saw a couple of posts. And
wow.
Those are very effective, by the way.
He's powerful. He's very powerful.
He's got a lot of influence. So Audio Evolution Mobile Studio wins with 40%. Second place, Ron, your app, the Hacker's Keyboard, second place at 33%. And mine, third place with Phono Paper, which, is neat. But, how often are you going to really need to use it?
So with those results, we are 14 weeks into 2018 and guests are still firmly in first place, although that could end tonight because there's no guests here, so they can't win points. I'm in second place with 37 points. I'm the only one who could topple the guests, so I need to win tonight. Flo, you're in second place with 30 points, and Jason, just right behind you on your heels with 29 points.
So. Yeah, I'm pretty far out there. I got some making up to do. Maybe I can do that tonight. Okay, so we're keeping the arena music focused. We we decided to go to the
end
with this theme. So, and we haven't done a themed arena in literally years at this point.
I would love to hear from the audience if you guys like the themed arenas. I mean, it's a little harder for us because we got to research, you got to look or whatever. But I think we should do more themed arenas personally.
I agree.
But if the audience agrees, post on Twitter, tweet at Android Show and say thumbs up. Themed arena or thumbs down themed arena.
Yeah, swipe left or swipe right.
Yeah.
Let us know.
So give us some indication.
All right. So first up, because I am the returning loser, I'm going to show off my app. Now, I will admit this app was in the other show I used to do called Arena or Android App
R.I.P.
Arena. Yes, rest in peace. But it's really ties in well with what we're talking about today. So if you are on Play Music, Google Play Music, and you download music offline, which I do very regularly, to have it stored in the app for if you happen to be in a place that doesn't have internet access, that's great. If you're using the Play Music app, all the music is in there. But a lot of people like to use their own music app. They want to use, maybe a Pulsar or a Phonograph that we showed off today. Or, one of my favorites lately has been Black Player. There are a lot of these standalone music apps that have really great UI and everything. But when you save a Google Play Music a song or album offline, it's not going to appear in there because of how they save it to the media. So my app is called Music Mate. And I launched it, and it goes right into Play Music and then right over to Music Mate.
Nice.
And actually, since I reviewed this in Android App Arena, they've revisited this app, and they've kind of brought it up from a design perspective. But so basically what you're seeing here are all of the songs, the albums that I've uploaded to my Google Play Music library. These are all the albums that I've uploaded over the years. And so there's a lot in here. If I wanted to get any of this, as you can see up here at the top, I have checked And Justice for All. And you may remember earlier in the show, when I was showing off those music players that Injustice for All was showing up. That's because I did this. So let's say I want to bring over Green Day, 10,039 Smoothed Out Slappy Hours. I go like that, and you see the little cloud thing appear up there. 1 second, I've got a message. Okay, and then you can see down there at the library is now downloading. It's going to go through one by one, tapping into my Google Play Music library, and it's going to download these to a folder on my drive that makes it accessible to my music apps. So I'll go in here. That's what I've done. Well, you can see they're littered throughout. There's a Green Day, one Green Day song. And by the way, this is a really great album. But they will start to appear in here in any music app that I happen to have installed. And so it makes them accessible in other music apps on my device, and that is neat. So, and you can specify in Music Mate where that goes, if I remember correctly. Storage path, yeah. So you can place it anywhere on your drive and make sure that it goes there. You can also change the features so that if I have this function selected, when I actually unselect a album or track in the Music Mate library, kind of main screen here, it will actually delete those files instead of just leaving them there as residual files left behind. So it's called Music Mate. It's free for up to 50 songs. So you get the first 50 songs that you download for free to kind of check it out and see how it works. Then it's a $3.99 in-app purchase. But if this is something that you really want to do, it totally, you know, is worth it, in my opinion. I've used this many, many times. It's a common app that I have installed to be able to get my music in other players, not just Google Play Music.
Pretty cool.
Called Music Mate. Check it out.
That's the kind of app that makes Android Android.
Yeah. So true. Absolutely.
That's what makes Android Android.
I like it. All right, Flo, you want to go next?
Yeah. So I like electronic music a lot. A lot.
I do too.
And an app that I have been subscribing to, a music service I've subscribed to since 2012, is Digitally Imported. I pay $70 a year for this. I have for a very long time. And if you want to listen to it, it's also free with ads. So I've got it here over my shoulder. Now, it is such a big app. Let me see. Let me make sure. Here we go. It is such a big app in my life that I have made it its own little icon in my home screen. So the thing about this app is it is 90 different stations that are, they're all curated by people, just random people who are known DJs on the service. And you can get genres, all sorts of electronic genres.
You keep going. I'm going to see if I can use my height.
from synthwave, which is a very popular genre currently for those who listen to stuff like The Midnight or Laserhawk, to chill and tropical house, which is very fun if you need some beach and island vibes. One station that I listen to pretty much every single day is, let's see if I put it on here, is Space Dreams. And if I really need to, like, focus, I listen to Space Dreams. But if I'm kind of just, like, checking email, I'll listen to Chill Out. And so, nice thing about this app is some chill out music right there.
Oh, yeah.
You can like and unlike things, which pretty much just tells the DJ who's running the channel that day or during that hour, like, hey, I'm not really into that. And they'll kind of, like, adjust based on what the user feedback is. Digitally Imported is really user focus. Like, there's a very intense community behind this, which is part of the reason why I like it. This is how I used to find out about music before Spotify's algorithm was tuned the way that it is now. So I would listen to Digitally Imported to my favorite channels, and then I would, you know, keep like a text document of all the songs that I liked from here. If you like all the really big house music, if you're into like Tiesto and like Armin van Buuren and like Ferry Corsten, they actually have live shows with those DJs. They also have like live progressive shows if you like progressive house music or progressive trance. If you like Russian club music, which is like really niche thing, but
who doesn't?
Well, there's a lot of, I mean, Russia is a huge country. So there's like a lot of people living there that listen to like Russian indie dance and stuff. Oh, okay. And so they have stations for that on here, which I absolutely love. So if I'm feeling like frisky or whatever, you know, I'll go, let's see if they have it on here. I'll just go down and go to the Russian club hits right there and listen to whatever the Russian kids are streaming, are listening to, which I don't understand any of it because I do not speak Russian. And, you know, overall, it's I found the use of it for the $70 a year that I've been paying for this. You can also go by style. There's no Android Auto support, which is kind of a bummer, and you'll see some of the complaints about that in the play reviews. And I'm just saying this here on air, too, digitally imported. $70 a month. I mean, come on, Android Auto support in there would be really nice. there is Chromecast support, though. Casting support, which works perfectly on all the Google Home devices, works perfectly on Chromecast. And I will also say that there's a setting where you can do low latency. So if you're in a very low latency area, you could just go and change the stream so that you can get your music, even if you don't mind it sounding a little, you know, chip-tuny, because it's a low bit rate. So, digitally imported. It's been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
Really, really long time.
Yeah, it's got good music. I've definitely checked that out before.
Very, very deep embedded community, so.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Support a good indie, you know, service.
Thingamabob.
Thingamabob.
When in doubt, just say thingamabob. All right, Ron, I've got yours installed. What you got?
So my app is called Music Match. And if you remember back earlier in the show when we were talking about apps, we talked about Deezer and it had an interesting lyrics integration. If you're not on Deezer, but you want interesting lyrics integration, Music Match may be the way, maybe the thing for you. So this isn't necessarily a music app, but rather an app that bolts on to whatever music platform you're using. And it automatically detects the song you're listening to and delivers you, serves up the lyrics. And then once you have those lyrics, you can see them on your phone or you can create a kind of a visual, you know, kind of image with the lyrics text to post to social media to share it. It's really, really neat and really well designed. And Jason, I don't know if you have it installed, but it's a lot of fun here. So if you start playing a song, right? And within the app, you've connected it to what? Did you connect it to Spotify or
no? You know what? This is actually just on the device. I'll take it over there in a second.
Metallica
this is,
again?
No, this so no, this is that good. Green Day song
oh,
that
sorry.
I just downloaded, and there it is. I mean, it immediately picked it up, but I'll go into a different app.
So once it sees your library, it allows you to do that very easily. Mm-hmm. But if you start, if you go into the Music Match app first before you do this.
Okay.
So when you open up the Music Match app. Go back to the home thing. All right. So there is go to home, not music, on the bottom. There you go. So on home, tap on open floating lyrics down there on the bottom. It says open floating lyrics. Okay. So now hit the X button. So that's going to close you off there. And so now go back to Google Play Music or go to your home screen. And you see in the upper right corner, there's that floating kind of lyric. There's that floating icon that expands this window. So if you close that and start playing a song in any player, so play music or whatever, just hit play, right? Just choose anything, right?
Okay.
And then it wiggles when it gets it, and there's the lyrics.
Oh, there we go.
That's pretty cool. So now if you tap the middle double arrow thing, you can expand it out, right? So you can see that. If you hit the little four dots to the right, on the lower right-hand corner, it will allow you to, you know, if the lyrics are wrong, you can edit them, right? You can, you know, it has you to kind of participate in the community that uses this, right? And then what is really cooler is that you can actually change the way it looks. So I'm doing it on my phone right now so I can look at it. So you can change the translations, but if you see in the upper right-hand corner, there's the hamburger menu, right? So here you can create a lyrics card, and this is where you can take the lyrics and add an image, change the quote, change the font, and then post that to social media. So it's a good way, you know, back in the day when I was young and emo, I would like to post lyrics, and this is a great way. It gives you some photos to choose from,
nice.
But you can also pull on your own, right?
I
it's pretty good.
This.
Yep.
Oh,
and so
cool.
then So then also if you go back to the skip away from this and go back to the lyrics card on the homepage on your home screen, hit the upper left hand corner. There's that little the half semicircle. This is where you can change either the compact or extended version. And you could, that's the size of the window, and you can change the lyrics to be either compact or full. Full gives you the whole running, and then you can change the color here, which is pretty cool. So you change the color and you go back and it will move along with the song, and you can scroll up and down with it too. So if you swipe up and down, you can go through all the lyrics and find the lyric that you're looking for. It's pretty neat, right?
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Your app is my Instagram dream.
Yeah, there it is. So it's called Music Match. It's free to download, but they do have a in-app purchase where you can unlock functionality, stop showing ads, that sort of thing. And if you do that, I believe it's like 99 cents, but they currently have a 30% off sale going on right now. So you could actually get it for, if you sign up for 12 months, it's 58 cents a month. Wow. So for a little more than half a buck, you can get access to all their functionality and all that sort of stuff. It's pretty cool. So
nice. That's great. I feel like the design of this has changed since the last time I looked at it. Like they've added a lot of features from
last
time.
Yeah, they really have.
Played with it.
So.
Nice. Very good pick. That's Music Match. Music spelled M-U-S-I-X. So Music's Match. If you want to check it out. Apparently it's still in beta. Says the title.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
The Eternal Beta. All right. Three music apps for you to vote and choose your favorite from. Is it Music Mate? Is it digitally imported? Is it Music Match? You can go to twit.to/AAApoll364, twit.to/AAApoll364, and place your vote for your favorite app, as Victor will do right now. Right now. Music Match. Boom.
Good one. Thank you, Victor. I'm glad that you didn't take the earlier comment to heart. Thanks for the vote. I do got to say, I found Music Match because I was in the Google Play Store looking at music apps for the segment. Like, I stumbled upon it through discovery.
Oh, so interesting.
I'd never played with it before. I'd never saw it. And as I was poking around, I was like, this looks really interesting. And that's how I found it.
Oh, yeah. Right on. That's a good pick. Amazing that it hasn't been in the arena before. That just shows you there's a lot to be found. Yep. This segment's never going away.
I was saving digitally imported for like this segment.
For the right moment.
For like the right segment. Yeah. Because it's a very important app to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So awesome. And they know it because I tweet them all the time.
All right, twit.to/AAApoll364. We'll let you know how it goes. And that, as they say, is what makes Android. Top to bottom.
I think there's our episode title.
I think it has to be. Yeah. It's a perfect episode for it. Thanks, you guys. That was a lot of fun. It was nice
that
to
was
switch it up and do the music discussion.
Well, I love this, too, because, you know, we've been using this platform for a really darn long time. So we've seen a lot of these trends.
Yeah.
Come and go in our Android lifetimes.
Absolutely.
As the sand moves through the hourglass, so do the days of our Android usage.
We got to work on that.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
We got to work on the end part of that. Maybe tighten it up a little bit.
I'll find my soap opera Android.
See what we can come up with. Thank you all for watching and listening. Flo, what's on your radar? What you working on?
So, hey, if you're looking into getting into the smart home and you're wondering where to start, there's a fun little Do You Need a Smart Hub article up on Engadget.com that went up a couple days ago by me. So
awesome.
Go check that out if you're interested in getting a smart hub. And guess what?
What?
You could maybe use a Google Home as a smart hub and find out why or how by going to Engadget.com and reading the article by me.
Right. There it is.
Yes.
Dude, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah. Then I think you should probably do that. Ron, what's up with you?
Not much is up with me. I'm just very excited for baseball. I'm enjoying my Mets. So going to see live music in our music themed episode. If you follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/RonXO, you can see photos taken with my Google Pixel of that live music. I've been very happy with how the Pixel's been performing in various lighting situations at clubs in New York City. And you can follow me on twitter.com/RonXO and you can see all my nonsense there. So
awesome stuff. Thank you, Ron. Victor, thank you for everything that you do.
Always and forever.
Victor's the best.
I think we've given you a list of two or three bumpers that we expect to be on our desk midday tomorrow.
On it.
Just kidding. Just keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate having you along. You can find me at jasonhowell.net, yellowgoldmusic.com. That's really about it. 888@twit.tv if you want to email us. You can send us a voicemail, or leave us a voicemail rather, 347-SHOW-AAA. Find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have the Arena apps list, and we appreciate the folks who keep that up to date. It's awesome to be able to refer to it. twit.to/Android apps. If you want some stats, you can go to twit.to/arena stats, by the way, and find those. Show notes and past episodes found at twit.tv/AAA, or you can come and watch the live show. We record it every Tuesday starting around 5 p.m. Pacific. Either twit.tv/live or sit in the audience, of which today we have no one. But that's okay. You could be someone. By emailing tickets at twit.tv. I think that's it for this week. I think we're done. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Little sneak peek of the Oreo. Oh, oh, oh.
Ron almost spoiled the surprise.
Almost.
But Ron had no idea.
He did.
Today's... Not. Is jelly donut Oreo. It's
wow.
It's an Oreo cookie, a white Oreo cookie with a jelly flavored center. And then white.
Wait, is it actually a jelly flavored center or a jelly? Oh, jelly flavored center.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's not a jelly
so it's
center.
Just flavoring. It's not jelly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same filling, just dyed a different color. Or something. Okay, so
you're gonna
you had
have
said,
to hand it to me.
Okay. Do you trust me?
I trust you.
Okay. Here you go. I will hand that
to you.
Flo's getting over a cold or something. So, okay. So this is the jelly donut Oreo. We'll go ahead and twist it off because it's good to see that gigantic pile of jelly in the center. Okay. All right.
Here we go.
I'm optimistic. Here we go.
Burke doesn't even try for this one.
Oh, he doesn't even want it.
Yeah, he doesn't even try for it.
The reject. I feel like this is going to be a low score. I can see just in the faces.
It does taste like the jelly part of
in
the
a
jelly
good,
donut.
It, I don't mind
in a good
this.
Way or a bad way?
It's kind of like candy. It's kind of like a jelly candy mm-hmm. flavor. Mm-hmm. You know how like all fruit
rancher.
Flavors... Taste like, well, the fruit tastes like the fruit, but then all the candy cherry tastes like candy cherry, mm-hmm. but it doesn't taste anything like real cherry.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that.
Candy jelly.
But yeah, I don't know what kind of jelly it is, but...
It tastes like fake jelly.
It's good. I mean, it's really sweet. I could probably only eat like two of these in a sitting.
Does the taste change with different bites?
Oh, I don't.
It definitely tastes like a jelly donut. Like biting into one. But okay. I think a jelly donut at least has the upside of having actual jelly in it.
Yeah, and being an actual donut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
I would agree. A jelly donut does have jelly in it and is a donut, which is why I had one this morning, strangely enough. So how does this compare to the jelly donut that I had this morning? It's not as good, but...
Hey, it's nice that you had a comparison.
I know. I've
it's
got
nice
a
that you had something to refer
It was
to.
An unintentional direct correlation.
I also had half a donut this morning.
Was it jelly?
No. Oh. It was like the, you know, the crumb, the cinnamon crumb kind.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty yummy.
It's a good one. All right. I feel like everything ends up in the 6 to 9 territory.
This is a 6. I'm not giving it... I'm not crazy about this, and I wouldn't take the box home.
It's a little too sweet. My
I wouldn't take the box home.
I wouldn't take the box home with me.
But I will try one.
I'll take that box home with me. My kids would probably really like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say a 6. I'll do 6. I'm okay with 6. It's just a little too sweet.
Because it's not even like close to Oreo. It feels no...
That's what I mean.
Like no Oreo.
It's got that candy kind of quality to it, which makes it different from an Oreo, but good, I guess, in its own right if you mm-hmm. feel like things are really sweet.
So there we go.
There we go.
Nobody wants it. This may be the first time that nobody came and actually took it away.
All right. Well, that says something.
The and audience has spoken.
And I will go hunting for Mississippi mud pie. Goodbye.
Spit on everything. So now we have to.
Goodbye package.
Disinfect.